Thank y'all very much. I matched y'all today, Bob was telling me. Yeah. I just didn't sing. Open your Bibles. Yeah, got an amen for that. Open your Bibles to Isaiah 50 as we finish a series of messages preached out of Isaiah 50 on the servant of the Lord, who we know and believe to be Jesus Christ. And in the words we've been considering, we've been actually looking at His very words. He's speaking of Himself, of His devotional life that He had, His daily communion with the Father, and then the obedience that He was willing to offer to the Lord, even to the point of suffering. And then He talked about His faith and His confidence that God would vindicate Him in the end. And then after the servant speaks, in verses 10 and 11, the Lord, through Isaiah, applies the example and the lordship of the servant to us. Here's what He says in verses 10 and 11. He said, "Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of the servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon His God. Look, all of you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment." Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would apply these words to us as individuals, as a church, as we enter into times of darkness, even in our nation. May we walk by faith, not by sight. In Jesus' name we pray, for His sake. Amen. The unmistakable atmosphere of these two verses is an atmosphere of darkness. Now, in the Bible, darkness, the meaning of the word darkness is determined by its context. Sometimes darkness in the Bible speaks of spiritual blindness, of the absence of truth. Truth is light and darkness is spiritual ignorance. And of course, as Christians, we don't walk in darkness because Jesus is our light. We're not spiritually blind because we have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus our Lord. And then sometimes darkness means what it means in this context, and that's the darkness of despair, the darkness of perplexity, the darkness of not knowing what God is doing and not being able to interpret our circumstances. That's the kind of darkness that He's talking about here. And it's also unmistakable from reading these two verses that everyone walks in this darkness of despair, of uncertainty, of perplexity, of pain, of distress. Those who believe walk through that darkness, and those who do not believe walk through this darkness. A little darkness comes into every life, whether you're a believer or whether you're an unbeliever. The difference between an unbeliever and a believer, according to these verses, is that the believer walks through the darkness trusting in God and fearing God. The unbeliever walks through the darkness and creates his own light, his own way of seeing in the darkness, and he lights his own path. And the end of that path, Isaiah tells us, the Lord tells us through Isaiah, is torment and sorrow. And so these words that God speaks after speaking of the servant of the Lord, who is our example of what it means to walk through the darkness of life, the perplexity, the distress, the despair of life, and to remain faithful. These verses are a call to us to follow Him. A call to follow the chief and original disciple, the one who walked through the darkness of pain and suffering in obedience and faith. And it's also a warning to those who would refuse to walk by faith. So as we look at these two verses, what is the Lord saying to us as followers of Jesus Christ as we enter into dark places in our lives? I think that the first thing that He would say to us in these two verses is fear God, not the darkness. Fear God, not the darkness. In verse 10 He says, "Who among you..." And He's addressing there the entire nation of Israel. Who among you out of this entire nation, and by the way, the whole nation was known as God's people. Who among you who bear the name of God actually fears the Lord? He's really calling out the remnant. The wheat from amongst the tares, we might say in New Testament vernacular. He's calling out the real from the false. He's calling out those who truly know God and truly trust God from those who just have a form of godliness but deny the power. He's saying, who among you fears the Lord? And when he says, who among you fears the Lord, that word fear, as we've seen in our study of fearing God, means two things. It means who among you is in awe of God, who among you truly reverences God, and then also being afraid is a part of that word fear. Afraid of something. Afraid of displeasing God. Afraid of walking out of fellowship with God. He said, who among you truly fears the Lord? And then he goes on and said, and who walks in darkness. He's saying, fear me. Don't fear the darkness. You see, most people fear the darkness. Most people fear the pain and the distress and the perplexity and not being able to explain or interpret what's happening to them when they go through a dark time in their life. And darkness is intimidating. Sometimes I find myself being afraid of the dark. I remember when my parsonage, I lived out in the country, there were no lights, my first church, and the parsonage was about, you know, a few feet, I don't know, 100 yards or so from the church. And sometimes I'd have to go in on Saturday night and get my sermon together, you know. I don't do that anymore, but then I'd be walking back and forth between the parsonage, and you know what? It was pitch dark. You couldn't even see. And little thoughts come into your mind sometimes, like, you know, you hear animals. I was in the woods. So I really didn't know what was there. And that's the thing about the darkness. You don't really know what's in the darkness, what could get you in that darkness. And so sometimes I'd run between the... Darkness is intimidating. But God says, don't fear the darkness, fear me. Because you see, the darkness to God, the Bible says in Psalm 139, the darkness to God is like light. There is no darkness to Him. He sees everything in the darkness. He's in control of the darkness. He uses the darkness to produce faith in the lives of His people. So He says, fear me, not the darkness. What do people do when they fear the darkness? In verse 11, He tells us, He says, they kindle their own fire. They light a torch so that they can see their way through the darkness. Rather than trusting God, they come up with their own interpretation of reality, their own worldview, their own things to trust, their own goals to achieve, their own way of coping with the darkness rather than trusting in God. He says, don't do that. Trust me in the darkness. I'm there with you in the darkness. I'll walk with you through the darkness. Fear me. Don't fear the dark. I'm in control of the dark, he says. I read a quote one time in a devotional book by Walt Hendrickson. He used to be a navigator. I think he may still be in charge of the navigators. But he wrote a little devotional book called Thoughts from the Diary of a Desperate Man. And I thought, hey, that'd be a good devotional book for me to have. But in that devotional book, there's a chapter there, little short, one-page devotions. And I just remember the main thought from this devotion. And the main thought was this. He said, a man fears in the direction of his hope. A man fears in the direction of his hope. In other words, whatever you're hoping for and trusting in more than anything, that's also your greatest source of fear. In other words, if your hope is in financial success and financial comfort, and you hear about the fact that this nation may be plunging into economic despair, you may find yourself racked with great fear that you cannot overcome. And it's natural for all of us to be afraid of that. Amen? But you know what? We have a God that's greater than anything that can happen to us financially. But if that's the ultimate, that's the ultimate thing we're hoping in, that's a fear that will be our undoing. If we're hoping in comfort and pleasure in this life and there's anything that threatens that, there's any hint that maybe our health would be threatened or something might threaten that comfort, that security that we so hope for in this life, then we're undone and we become very terrified and we begin to move and do things based upon fear. We begin to act in that fear. What are we doing? We're lighting torches to see our way through the dark. We're acting in fear rather than trusting in God. If we seek the approval of people, and that's what we want more than anything, then we may live in fear of what people think about us. We may be unable to overcome that. Why? Because we fear in the direction of our hope. If our hope is in politics, and our party has to win the election, and our party doesn't win the election, what happens? We're in great despair. All is lost because we fear in the direction of our hope. But guess what? God says, don't put your trust in princes. Don't put your trust in human leaders. Put your trust in God. See, some people fear the darkness. And other people fear God in the midst of the darkness. And that's what God's trying to develop in each and every one of us. That's what He would say to us today. Whatever kind of darkness you're walking in, you're walking into that darkness with unbelievers. You're walking in that darkness with believers. Our nation may be entering into a time of darkness. You may be having some personal darkness in your life. The dark night of the soul. But whatever darkness it is that you're facing in your life, don't fear the darkness. Yes, we may quake and tremble for a moment, but fear the God who is over the darkness. Fear Him. Fear Him. Reverence Him. Be in awe of Him. Fear anything happening in your life that would break your fellowship with Him. You see, when we fear God, when our hope is in God, we fear anything that would damage our relationship with God. Our destiny is God. Our joy comes from a relationship with God when we fear God. And when we fear Him, that fear of Him supersedes any fear that we might have of the darkness. And we're able to carry on and walk in the darkness. Not lighting our own torches, reacting in fear, trying to make our own way, but fearing God. That's the first thing that I believe that God would say to us today from these two verses. Fear Me, not the darkness. The second thing that I think God would say to us in the words of Jesus, the servant of the Lord, hear Me, not the world. Listen to Me in the darkness. Don't listen to the voice of the world. You see, there's a voice that cries out in the darkness to guide us, to shepherd us, and it's the voice of Jesus. It's the voice of the Word of God. He cries out to us in the darkness. The Bible says in Isaiah 30, we'll hear a voice behind us that says to turn to the right or to the left. He says, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Jesus speaks to us in the darkness of this world, in the darkness of our pain, in the darkness of our depression, in the darkness of those situations in which we don't know what God's doing and we don't know what the temporal outcome of the situation will be. Jesus is calling to us. He's speaking to us in that situation. And when we hear Him, we follow Him. You see, to hear, as I said before, in the Hebrew, when it says someone heard God, that means necessarily that they also obeyed God. And Jesus said, my sheep what? My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. You see, the Christian life, although from a moral perspective and a spiritual sight perspective, it is a life that is described as a life of walking in the light. But from the perspective of darkness that we're talking about in this text, the darkness of despair and the darkness of uncertainty and the darkness of pain, the Bible paints the Christian life as a life walking in the darkness, where we don't see everything clearly, where we don't have all the answers. What did Paul say? He said, right now we see through a glass darkly. But then one day we'll see face to face. Now we know in part. We prophesy in part. Then we will know even as we are known. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. We can't always see. This Christian life, from the perspective of pain and suffering and having all the answers, is a walk in the dark. But it's a walk in the dark listening to the voice of our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. He's shepherding us through the darkness. Even through what? Through the valley of the shadow of death. He's taking us right through. He's the voice behind us. He's saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. You see, to hear the voice of the shepherd, to obey the voice of the servant of the Lord is synonymous with fearing the Lord. If we fear the Lord, we hear the Lord and we obey the Lord, even in the darkness. You see, in Jesus' day, the character of a man was revealed by whether or not he was able to hear the voice of Jesus and recognize that as the very voice of God. And so when Jesus would confront the religious people who professed to fear God, he would expose them as hypocrites because they wouldn't listen to him. He said things like what he said in John 7:17. If any man wants to do his will, that's God's will, he will know whether this teaching that I'm giving them is from God or if it's of myself. He was saying the very fact that you don't understand that I am God's teacher, that I am the Savior and Messiah, is an evidence that you don't fear God and that you don't even want to do God's will. In John 5:42-44, he said, but I know that you don't have any love for God in you. Imagine him standing up and preaching a sermon like that to people. I know you people don't love God, he said. And here's how I know. I've come in my Father's name and you don't receive me. If another man came in his own name, you'd receive him. How can you believe who receive honor one from another and don't seek the honor that comes from God? He said, the very fact that you don't receive me and you glorify men and you honor men is evidence that you don't fear God. You don't know God. And you don't seek to please God. You don't seek His honor. And then in John 8:46-47, he said, if I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He said, he that is of God hears God's words. You don't hear them because you are not of God. He said, if you would hear my voice, the voice of the good shepherd, then it would reveal that you truly feared God. If you heard me and you obeyed me. You say, what does that have to do with us? The very same thing that it had to do back then. The Bible says the same thing is true today. Those who will listen to God, those who have an ear to hear what the Lord would say to them and a heart to obey what Jesus Christ would say to them, what the Holy Spirit would say to them through the Word of God, reveals that they are from God. And those who have no appetite for the Word of God, who have no desire to hear from God, reveal, no matter what they profess. You see, these religious leaders profess to be the ones who are in the will of God. But regardless of what they profess, if they don't hear the Word of God, Jesus says they're not of God. You say, where's that in the Bible? In John 1 John 4, listen to what the Holy Spirit said through John. He said, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. That little saying, there's a recognition both of His divinity, He's come, He's taken on flesh, His humanity. Those people that don't believe Jesus is who He says He was and who God says He is are not of God. And he says, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. The spirit of Antichrist was in the world way back in the beginning of the New Testament. He says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You don't listen to the voice of the world because Christ is in you. And he overcomes the world in you. He says, they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world. And guess what? The world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. John speaking for himself and the apostles. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. As we draw nearer and nearer to the time of the actual Antichrist making his appearance on the earth, and no, I don't know who it is, and I had some ideas, but I won't tell you. But as we move closer to that time, then this voice of the world, this voice of Antichrist, is going to get louder and louder and louder. And it's so loud right now, and it seems so reasonable. It seems so reasonable. And people all over the world are embracing it. People all throughout this culture are embracing the voice of the world, the voice of Antichrist, denying Christ as the exclusive way to God. Denying that which was once accepted in this culture that was so blessed to be founded upon Christian principles. There's an open letter written to Islam a few months back. And it was signed by many popular and well-known scholars, evangelical scholars and preachers. If I started naming them, you go, I've heard of him, I've heard of them. They're successful. Their ministry is blessed by God. But you know what they did? They wrote this letter, an open letter to Islam, and in that letter they spoke of Jesus and they spoke of Muhammad as if they were both on par. And they said, listen, they both taught love, and so what we need to do is we need to come together around that great theme of love. Let's all hold hands. Do you know what that spirit is, people? That's the spirit of Antichrist. Muhammad was not of God. I don't care what he preached. Jesus is the Son of God. Islam is a demonic religion. Why is it a demonic religion? Because it doesn't teach people to trust in Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not Muhammad or Buddha or anybody else. And anybody who would call themselves a believer in Jesus Christ, that would write a letter that put Jesus on par with Muhammad, has been deceived. Maybe they're not, I'm not saying they're not unbelievers, but they've been deceived by the spirit of this age, which is the spirit of Antichrist. Mark it down. We live in a culture where one of the most popular people today is Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey, some of you have seen the clip. Oprah Winfrey, that wonderful beacon of truth and light. Oprah Winfrey said, there's no way that Jesus Christ could be the only way. The world's too big. There's too many people. It couldn't be the only, he couldn't be the only way. You know what that is, folks? That's the spirit of Antichrist. But it's being embraced by the world. The church growth movement today is downplaying doctrine. There's a movement, the emerging church. They're downplaying doctrine. That's not important. Let's focus on experience and have a bigger tent. You don't have to believe the great doctrines of the faith. You can take this one and leave that one. It doesn't matter. And we look at it and say, wow, they've really got something going on. Look at all the people that are filling that church. Listen, that is the spirit of Antichrist. The Bible says in the last days, men will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears according to their own lusts. And they'll turn away from the truth and they'll turn to fables. And we're seeing that right now. It's taken over our culture. The spirit of Antichrist. And people that buy into that, folks, people that buy into that reveal their character. They reveal that they don't hear the Word of God, the Shepherd Jesus Christ. They don't fear God, and they've given in to the spirit of this age. So what would the Lord say to us as we walk into the darkness? Hear the voice of the Shepherd Jesus Christ, and not the voice of the world. Shut out the voice of the world and hear the voice of the Shepherd Jesus Christ. Fear the Lord, and don't fear the darkness. And what's the third thing that he would say? He'd say, trust in God and not yourself as you walk into the darkness. Trust in God, not yourself. When you walk into a circumstance in your life in which you're perplexed and you don't have the answers and you can't see your way and you may be filled with gloom and pain, he says, trust in God. In verse 10, he says, who walks in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord. And rely upon his God. And you see, the servant's the example of all this. What did he say in the midst of his suffering that we found in the last couple weeks? He said, the Lord is near me. He said, the Lord will help me. Therefore, I will not be ashamed. Therefore, I've set my face like a flint. The Lord opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned I away back. He walked by faith into the darkness. And he's saying, do the same thing that the servant of the Lord did. Trust in the name of the Lord. Don't light your own torches and trust in yourself and listen to the voice of the world and try to figure this thing out and go down the broad road that leads to destruction. But trust in the name of the Lord. And what is the name? In the Bible, that means the character of the Lord. Trust in who He is. His love for you. He's revealed in the Bible as a God who loves you. And guess what? The Bible says nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's revealed in the Bible as a sovereign God. There is no darkness that comes into our life that He's not in control of and that He's not using for our good and for His ultimate glory. Amen? He's a sovereign God. Trust in Him. Don't trust in yourself. Don't light your own torches and go the way that the world goes. I was talking to Lee Faulkner this week and I think he had a very good thought. He said, if God made everything perfect in a person's life once they trusted in Christ, He said people would be lined up all over the place to get saved. Amen, right? He said, but that's not His way. Why? Because God wants us to walk by faith. That's why He lets us walk through the darkness. Because God is pleased when we walk by faith. God's even using the dark places in our lives to develop our faith. There's examples of that right now, even in our own congregation. I think of Dale and Sue Peterson and the situation that they're going through. And the apparent hopelessness of that situation when you look at it through the human eye. But you know what? When I see them, I don't see hopeless people, do you? I see people who are trusting. I see people who are believing that God is in control. I see people who are believing that God is going to use this circumstance in the life of their grandson for His glory. They believe that God is going to make him through this a man of God. See, that's an example of people who are walking through the darkness, but they're walking through the darkness trusting in the name of the Lord. And that's an example to all of us. When you walk through the darkness, trust in the name of the Lord. And then He says something else that also speaks of trust. He said, and let him lean upon his God. Let him lean upon his God. Whenever I read that, I said, you know, that says two or three things to me. Let him lean upon his God. Number one, that tells me that God must be there with us in the darkness. You can't lean on somebody that's not there, right? If you don't have anybody sitting next to you, try to lean over and see what happens. And today, with all the empty spaces, that could happen. You could be an illustration. You'd end right up on the bottom of the... And you could sleep through the message actually laying down rather than sitting up. Why? Because there's nobody to lean on. You don't have anybody's head to lean on. So that tells me that if we're to lean on our God... When we walk through the darkness, that tells me that my God is there with me. And Jesus said, I've not left you without a comforter. I'll send another comforter. He's going to come and He's going to help you. The word comforter means one who actually comes along beside us. And He walks with us. You're not alone. Cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Speak to Him in the darkness. Lean on Him in the darkness. That's the first thing it tells me, that He's with us. He's walking with us through the darkness. The second thing that it tells me is He's our strength in the darkness. To lean on Him means to get your support from Him. Let Him hold you up. When you can't hold yourself up, let Him hold you up. And guess what? We really can't hold ourselves up. He holds us up. His right hand, the Bible says, holds us fast. Holds us up. Let Him be your strength. Let Him give you the ability to walk through the darkness. Recognize that you can't do it on your own. Recognize that apart from Him, you can do nothing. And then trust in Him, and He'll give you energy that you didn't know that you had. He'll give you resources that you didn't know that you had. Wisdom that you didn't know that you had. Grace and ability to endure that you didn't know that you had. And the truth of the matter is, you didn't have it. It was in Him all along. Let Him be your strength in the darkness. Then there's one other thing that little phrase tells me. He tells us to lean upon our God when we're walking through the darkness. And that is that our emotional state, even in the darkness, can be one of rest. That's a picture of rest. God wants us to be people who are at rest. Now, we Baptists love that. Amen. I don't have to do anything. No, that's not what He means by rest. It's a rest of activity. It speaks of our emotional state. It speaks of peace and confidence that comes from resting in Him as we serve Him. That's the kind of rest that the author of Hebrews was talking about in Hebrews chapter 4. This is what God wants us to experience. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. There remains a rest for the people of God. He who has entered this rest has ceased from his work as God did from His. Let us therefore strive or labor to enter into this rest. That's the rest of peace that we can experience because we're not walking through this darkness alone. We're walking through this darkness with the Lord. And therefore we can rest in Him. We don't have to be anxious and fearful. We don't have to get out our torches and light them and make our own way through and use our own light. We can rest in the Lord knowing that what John says is true. The darkness is passing right now. It's in the process of passing. And one day the true light will shine. We can walk through this darkness knowing that there's going to be an end to the darkness. One day we'll be in a city that the Bible says is lit by the very presence of the Lamb of God. There's no night there. It's always day because Jesus is there. One day we'll be in perfect light and there'll be no more darkness in this world. But we're on a path right now through darkness. Some of you aren't feeling it because there's times when we're not in it. And there are other times when you're in it and you feel it. Maybe it's a circumstance. Maybe it's just a state of mind. You're depressed. I was talking to a lady last week that says, I can't feel anymore. I can't feel anything anymore. She's in darkness. But the Lord's there. Just because you can't feel Him doesn't mean He's there. Amen. Doesn't mean He's not there. He is there. Our feelings are deceiving sometimes. But whatever it is, when you walk through the darkness, don't fear the darkness. Fear Him. Don't listen to the voice of the world which says, light your own torch. Do it our way. Make your own security. Find meaning in life apart from God. Don't listen to the voice of the world. Listen to the voice of the Savior. And then don't trust yourself. Trust God. I just want to read the little warning here again at the end. He points us to the servant and how he trusted God through the darkness and feared the Lord. And listen to the voice of God. But then he says, look, all of you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and the sparks you have kindled. He's being sarcastic, saying, go ahead, do it your own way. He said, but here's what the end of that will be. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. There's a way that seems right unto man. But the end thereof leads to destruction. Broad is the gate and broad is the way. And many there be that enter in thereat. But the end of that broad road, which is the road that everybody else is going down, the end of that road is lying down in torment. It's total, eternal separation from God in hell. That's the end of a life that rejects God and does it their own way, even though they may profess to know Him. They don't really fear Him and listen to His voice. But there's another road. It's a narrow road. There's not many people that go on that road. The gate is very narrow. It's as narrow as the person of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can get in on that road. It's a difficult road. That road is dark. There's darkness. He never promises that there wouldn't be darkness. There's pain. There's persecution. There's illness. There's suffering. There's unexplainable things on that road. But He says, guess what? On that narrow road, the end of that narrow road leads to life. It's a dark road. But the destination is well worth the walk. What road are you on today? Christian, you're going through darkness. What are you tempted to do today? Listen to the voice of the Savior? Are you listening to the world? There are Christians that do the very things the world does when they find themselves in perplexity and problems. There are Christians that turn their backs on their family and leave. There are Christians that adopt views of God that will embrace their choices. There are Christians that do those things. But you can't do that for long. Because God will discipline you. Why? Because He loves you. And there are people who don't know God and they walk on that broad road and it makes so much sense to them. But the end is destruction. What road are you on? What are you doing? Who are you listening to? That's what God wants us to think about this morning, I think. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Your Word says, Lord, that it's through much tribulation that we must enter into the kingdom of God. Your Son, Jesus Christ, said that in this world you will have darkness. You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Lord, help us to hear Your voice. God, help us to develop an appetite for You, to hear from You, to fear You, and help us to recognize the world's voice for what it is, even when it's dressed up in religious garb and success and all those things. God, help us to see it for what it is without being judgmental and hateful people, but just to make sure that we're walking in the darkness, trusting in You. Help us, I pray. God, touch the hearts of your people. Whatever it is you want to accomplish in their lives, Father, I pray that you'll have the freedom to do that, because they're not worried about what time they get out or what they're going to do after this meeting, but God, that they want to do business with you. I pray that you'll give all of us that heart, that spirit, that you might be glorified in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to respond to the Word of God today.